Jesus said, I am the door. In another place, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, the famous I am statements of the Gospel of John, here's one. I am the door. Speaks of safety, security, all due, again, to proximity. Listen, the key to being a happy sheep is get as close as you can to the shepherd. Hang out with the shepherd, man. Abide, Jesus said in him.
There will always be things and people trying to drown out the voice of Jesus, so you must be careful to listen only to his leading. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip gives some practical advice on keeping your eyes and ears fixed on Jesus. But first, if you've had questions about the book of Genesis, Skip wants to tell you about a book he's written that can answer those questions.
Genesis is the gateway to God's love. In it, we learn about how God created the world, how man sinned in the fall, and how God kickstarted his plan of redemption. Start at the beginning with me in my new book, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. Order your copy today at connectwithskip.com.
Now, turn your Bible to John chapter 10 today as we begin our study with Pastor Skip.
You know, it's funny, whenever I teach on sheep and I do mention that sheep are kind of dumb, I just see some people just sort of like, I don't like this part of the sermon. I don't like being told I'm not smart. You know, the fact that the Bible calls you a sheep, you're going to hear it one of two ways. You're going to either hear it as a chop, a put down, or you're going to hear it as a compliment. I see it as a compliment. David, I think, was bragging when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He does this, he does that. In other words, I'm a sheep that I recognize, but I have it good because I have a good shepherd. And he was bragging. And how many of you are pet owners? Okay, hands down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on the next one. But I'm going to tell you this. There are good pet owners, and there's some bad pet owners. And I mean bad in the true sense of not cool, but not good. Not good. Bad pet owners. Some own pets. They never walk them. They never exercise them. They never spend much time. They sort of keep them in a little enclosure in the backyard. They run around barking all day long, all day. I have a neighbor that goes all day long, all day long, all day long. Not a next door neighbor, so Donna, I want you to try to Zillow that and find who is it? Who is it? Somewhere else in the neighborhoods. I'm thinking, goodness, that dog is out there all the time, barking all the time, needs an owner who will take care of it. Then there are those who are good, normal pet owners, probably you. Since you're Christians, you are good pet owners. You might even quote texts of scripture to your pets. I don't know. But then there are those other pet owners on the other side of the spectrum who are like, they carry their pets wherever they go. They have little sweaters with monograms for their pets. You know, they go to dog psychiatrists if something's wrong. And, you know, their dog house is air conditioned in the summer. This exists, by the way. We hear that and we go, that's stupid. That's overboard. But let me ask you a question. If you were a dog and you could choose which house to go to, you can take A, B, or C. I'm going with C. I want the AC if I'm a dog in the summertime. Right? So when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he's going, I'm C. Yeah, I got the great shepherd who takes such great care of me. It was a boast. So back to our story. Notice something about the good shepherd, the true shepherd. False shepherds don't come through the door. They try to climb in some other way. So in the morning, the shepherds come to the door. The doorkeeper, the porter says, I know you. You're the right shepherd. Call your sheep and they go with them. A false shepherd is going to try to climb in probably at night to steal the sheep. Jesus came through the front door of Judaism. He came in the right way. Jesus was predicted by the prophets, inspired by God the Father throughout the Old Testament. 330 predictions made that Jesus fulfilled. He came in through the front door of Judaism. That was Paul's point, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He came in the right way, came in through the front door. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This I have found out from people who keep sheep over in these United States, is that Western shepherds drive their sheep, but Eastern shepherds would lead their sheep. And you see it today when you go over to the Middle East. You see a shepherd walking in front of the flock, not driving them, leading them. And why would he lead them? Because sheep don't know where they're going. Yeah, you can drive them using sheep dogs, but it's better if you lead them, because the sheep will come to trust you, actually. Shepherds have said, my sheep are very at ease when I'm around, because it's like they have this instinct that says, I know that he knows where he's going. He knows where the spots are. Right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, as David said. So he goes in front of them. He leads them. They follow him. They know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will run away from him, flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. There's an underlying truth in all this. You know, we've kind of given you and unfolded and unpacked the meaning of these words. But here's an underlying truth. Sheep need to be led. Sheep need shepherds. We need his guidance. We need him to lead us. We need to depend on him. Sheep who have no shepherd are called lost or dead. And there are people in this world who I would classify as lost and dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, wandering, meandering, not knowing where they're going, because there's not a shepherd over them. Jesus saw the multitudes in Galilee like sheep having no shepherd, wandering aimless. Sheep need to be led. This has happened to me a couple times when I've been in the Middle East. And one time, interestingly enough, in Bethlehem itself, where there was a flock of sheep, there was a shepherd, my buddy and I decided, let's go get some milk fresh out of the udder of these sheep. The rest of our tour group thought, these guys are nuts. And so we approached the shepherd, but all the sheep, when they heard us coming, they all huddled together with their heads in the center and their little sheep hinies poking out. So they're getting their heads together, but there's nothing really in their heads to get together. So it's just not a good strategy. They're not like facing the other direction like some animals do. They're facing inward like, oh, get the bad men away. And they're exposed. They're vulnerable. So the shepherd had to break them up and scatter them around, keeping them close to him, but not in that formation, because it's not a good thing for them to do. It makes them open to predatory animals. So Jesus, verse 7, said to them. He said to them again. So this is the second time now he's speaking, and he's using a little bit different analogy. The morning is over. It's now the shepherd out with the sheep during the midday, mid-afternoon, leading them out to the hillside, the green pastures, etc. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, it changes a little bit. Before he was the good shepherd, he's the shepherd calling the sheep out. Now he's the door, and I'll explain that. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In the village, that sheep enclosure where all of those communal flocks were kept, the walls were high, but out in the pasture lands, out in the countryside, the walls were usually much lower, just stones piled up with a little bit of bramble. A little simple enclosure was made. Sheep were put in, but there was no door. The shepherd would lie down at night, if he kept them out a few days, lie down at night at the entrance of the sheep enclosure. There's an Old Testament author named, an author of Old Testament books named George Adam Smith, talked about manners and customs. He was visiting the Middle East. He was out in the countryside with shepherds. And the shepherd was showing him and directing him how he was leading his sheep and led him into one of these simple little enclosures out in the countryside. And George Adam Smith said to the shepherd, "Well, what are you going to do now? Where's the door?" And the shepherd said, "I am the door." And he showed that he would lay down in front of the door at night. And he said, "The sheep can't leave but over me. And a wolf cannot come in but over me." You've heard that old expression, "over my dead body." I like that. I like that in this sense. I'm the shepherd. You're not going to get to my sheep unless you come through me. That speaks of protection. That speaks of safety. And safety and protection are due to proximity. The shepherd is with his sheep, protecting his sheep at the door of the sheepfold. I am the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. How many doors were there to the sheep enclosure? 10? It was one. Jesus said, "I am the door." In another place, he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus, the famous I am statements of the Gospel of John, here's one: "I am the door." Speaks of safety, security, all due again to proximity. Listen, the key to being a happy sheep is get as close as you can to the shepherd. Hang out with the shepherd, man. Abide, Jesus said in him. Abide means have a constant, close, intimate, living communion with him. The closer you are in proximity to the shepherd, your security goes up, your safety goes up, your satisfaction goes up. Verse 10, famous verse. You know this one. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they might have it to the max. That's the NSV. That's the New Skip Version. More abundantly is the New King James Version. To the hilt. Turned up to 10. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now notice the contrast. The thief, the shepherd, or the door. The contrast is, he wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the max, to the full, to the brim, to the hilt. What a contrast from Satan's plan for your life and God's plan for your life. You've heard people say, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and has a wonderful plan for your life. True, but you need to hear the other side of the coin. Satan hates you and has a miserable plan for your life. So if you want to be a happy sheep, learn to say no to the one who's trying to kill you, steal, and destroy you. Say no to that. Oh, but it's hard. It is hard. But it's painful to say no to the world. Yeah, it's difficult. But your choice is this. You can have temporary pleasure now and long-term pain later. Or you can have temporary pain now and long-term satisfaction that lasts into eternity. That's the choice. Because Jesus just frames it so nicely. The thief has come to steal from you, rip you off. Are you being ripped off or are you being right on with the shepherd? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, I've never met a person in all my years of doing this, doing ministry, I've never yet met a person who at the end of his life or her life said, "I wish I would have sinned more. I regret that I didn't take more drugs or fornicate more or, get into illicit stuff. I really regret that. I've never met a person who said that. I've met plenty of people who regret that they did do all that stuff and they wish they would have walked with the Lord longer. So, yeah, it's not easy. It's hard to say no, but the end thereof, and that is all of Satan's lies, is the way of death. So say not just no, but say yes. No to Satan's ploys, to the thief's ploys, but yes to Jesus, who is doing everything he can to give you abundant life. And I just want to ask you, I want you just to think through this yourself, maybe in your devotions tomorrow. Does that describe you, your life, abundant life? And that doesn't mean that everything's perfect or that you have tons of disposable income or everything in life you want materially. But is it abundant? Is it abundant? Jesus said he's come to give you abundant life, not I've come to give you a bummer life and bummer more abundantly. I want you to have abundant bummer. That's my plan for your life. Now, I know plenty of people in the world who don't understand my Christian walk who think that that's what Jesus will do. I remember when I first told my friends that I've given my life to Christ and my family that I've given my life to Christ, and they said, why? What a waste. I remember telling my friend Tony from England that I met in Israel that I would say no to some of the things he was involved with and yes to Jesus. And he said, I don't understand. Why would you do that? I'm having all the fun. I said, Tony, you don't even know what fun is, man. You've been eating Hamburger Helper all your life. You've been eating TV dinners. I'm over here with steak and lobster, and you think that you got it good? Jesus has abundant life. You just haven't tasted it yet. You're over there with the TV dinners going, man, life is good, life is good. Uh-uh. Try some abundance. So as a believer, as one of God's sheep, are you a complaining sheep? Well, that's my spiritual gift. It's my talent to point things out that are wrong. Well, I don't think the Lord would mind if you buried that talent. Is there abundance? Jesus spoke about he who thirsts and comes to me and drinks out of his innermost being will gush torrents, rivers of living water. I am the good shepherd. Verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's going to say that four times. He gives or lays down his life four times in this passage. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, a hired hand. He does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, I said four times, he says, I give or I lay down my life. He's speaking of his sacrificial death. Because a shepherd, as I told you, in that sheep enclosure out in the wilderness, would lay down his life every night, lay it down and become the door. Which would mean if a pack of wolves came, he could die if he didn't protect himself. Jesus is saying, I am laying down my life for the sheep. The word for, listen carefully, is the Greek word huper. And huper means on behalf of or instead of, in the place of. I am going to lay my life down in death in the place of, on behalf of the sheep, people. So they don't have to die for their sins. I'll take it upon myself. That's the idea of huper. That is what we call substitutionary or vicarious atonement. It's the doctrine of vicarious atonement, substitutionary death. And four times Jesus makes reference to it here. I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, shepherding, it sounds like a fun life, right? It's like, oh, what a peaceful life. It's risky. It's risky. You remember David, King David, when he, before he was king, and he was just a little shepherd boy. And remember when he was being interviewed by King Saul? And David said, you know, King Saul, I'm a shepherd, and I'm really good at the stone and the sling. And by the way, whenever a bear or a lion came in and took a sheep, I would chase that puppy down and I would get it from its mouth and deliver it. That's dangerous work. I did an interesting little digging online and discovered that in a year's time, according to the National Agricultural Statistics Service, yes, there is one that actually provides these numbers, in 1 year in the United States of America, almost 250,000 sheep died by predatory animals. Cougars, mountain lions, wolves, coyotes. That's a lot. So it's risky business. Of course, Jesus paid the ultimate price. He laid down his life, but I want to put that in your mind because he's going to complete the sentence. Verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring also. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, here's the rest of it, that I might take it again. I'm laying it down in death. I'm taking it again in resurrection. Jesus laying down his life was not the end of the story. The end of the story was he laid it down that he might take it again. We need to learn to finish the sentence. How are you doing? Oh, man, it's been hard lately. My life, I'm laying my life down. Finish the sentence. You're going to take it up again. God has plans for you. Unless he wants you in heaven, you're just going to lay it down and die right there, but probably you're not. So what I want you to see in terms of Jesus about the cross is that when he laid down his life, when he went to the cross and died, that wasn't a disaster. That was a design. The cross wasn't a tragedy. It was a strategy. He announced it in advance. I'm laying down my life that I might take it again. And later he will say, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. Amazing who he is claiming to be. Now, verse 16, I want to draw your attention back to it. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and there will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He is speaking of those outside of the flock, the fold of Judaism, the Gentiles he's speaking of, non-Jewish people. That's me. That's probably most of you. 99.9% of you are Gentiles, non-Jewish people. The gospel was to go from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're about as uttermost parts of the earth as you can get if you start at Jerusalem. So we're out there. We're other sheep, man. And Paul, in Ephesians, called this the mystery, the mysterion, that was kept back from people knowing it in the Old Testament. But now it's revealed in the New Testament. The mystery is that, not that the Gentiles would be saved or the Jews would be saved, but that Jew and Gentile would be placed in the same body, the same group, the same fold. Other sheep I have. There will be one flock, one shepherd.
Jesus stunned the religious elite in his day when he treated all people as equals. His love is surely deep and wide. Now, we want to share about a resource that will help you shut out the darkness of the world and allow God's light to shine in your life.
In a world full of darkness, do you ever feel like you can't see any light? Does love seem to be a thing of the past? If so, we want to help you walk in the light of God's love by sending you an inspiring study from Linja Heitzig called Live Brilliantly, a study in the book of 1 John.
1 John underscores that God is light. There is so much light in this Bible study. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and we all know that the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. And then Jesus passed the torch, and he said, you are the light of the world.
Get your copy of Live Brilliantly when you give a gift today to help connect more people to the light of God's word so they can experience the power of his love. As you dive into these powerful truths, you'll find that when your life reflects God's light, no darkness can overtake you. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give your gift today. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
The Word of God has the power to change lives forever. And we want to invite you to help take these Bible-based teachings to more people around the globe. Our goal is to connect listeners to the truths of Scripture, and you can be a part of that by giving a gift today. Just visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip points out that Jesus' work isn't over. In fact, it even continues today.
His work didn't end at the cross. His redemptive work ended at the cross. But do you know that he is still working today, to right now? Do you know what he's doing? He's advocating. He's interceding for you.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Hyten is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.